God is so good, so good. Praise God, I see him in everything. In everything, God is with us. I cannot emphasize enough how much he loves and cares for you and is concerned about us. Nothing's going on in your life that God is not in it with you. Hallelujah. Exodus, the 23rd chapter. Let us stand and begin reading at the 20th verse. We're going to read from the 20th verse to the 30th verse. Amen. Behold, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to thy enemies and an adversary unto thy adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow. Thou shalt utterly lose them and quite around their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. And ye shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast thee young, nor be barren in thy land. The now. Which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. And the beasts of the field. A little. Until thou be increased, inherit the land.
Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless the reading of his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have help today. You are not in this alone. Hallelujah. Praise God. The book of Exodus. Now, the Greek translators call this book of Exodus the departure. It's a going out. And it's the forming of Israel into a new people. The book of Genesis was the beginning. We saw how the people came into captivity. And now the book of Exodus is after Israel had been brought into captivity for over 400 years, then God sent the deliverer Moses, and the book of Exodus is their exodus out of captivity. And I say to you today, it's time to come out. It's time to come out. Hallelujah. Time to make a departure from captivity, from the old into the new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in this book, God is preparing Israel to go into the promised land. The place that they did not choose for themselves, but God chose for them. That departure out of the old into the new was directed and ordered by God. God is taking you to somewhere. Forget about your plans and forget about your will. This is about God and where he is taking you to. This departure is not about you. It is the season and the time to stop talking about what you want, what you desire, what you plan, and what you imagine. It's a good thing to have some goals and some things set up. But I tell you today, people, and I pride myself in saying and doing that for years. I've said things like, I'm a strong black woman. I handle my own. And I know how to take care of myself. I was taught that way. I don't need no man. I got my own money. I got my own car. I got my own stuff. I can handle my own. But I have come to the realization in this Christian life, I'm a woman without a plan. I'm a woman without a know-how. I'm a woman without a way. His way is my way. And his way is the best way. And my will must become subject unto his will. I must become submissive. I don't lead no parade or no group. I'm a follower of God and the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. His way is the only way. This thing, I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm going to do that, and popping up with ideas. My thing is not, did God tell you to do that? Did he tell you to do that? Because if he told you, it's going to be easy and it's going to be a success. Because where he leads, he provides. And if he told you to do it, it's going to succeed. Because God don't make failures. He really don't. So that's the one thing. We have got to examine ourselves. And I don't mind it in these days and this time. I have no problem checking and rechecking myself. God, did you tell me to do that? Did you tell me to go there? Is I'm going the right way and I'm this? Is I'm that? Should I drop it or should I keep pursuing this? Don't leave me out there. Don't hang me out there by myself. I can't make this journey by myself. Hallelujah. So the children of Israel, God brought them out of Exodus. He brought them out of the departure. He was the lead. He was in charge of their destiny and their fate. Realize, people of God, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, whatever is set up in your life, this day, recognize. That's all he directed the children of Israel here to do. All I want you to do, your part of this agreement of getting into your promised land, of getting into your departure, of getting to the place where I have directed you to, I'm not leading you blindly. I've told you I'm taking you somewhere. I didn't ask you where you want to go. I said, I'm taking you where? To the land of milk and honey, to the land of plenty. I'm taking you to a place better than anything you could imagine. Better than anything you could have asked me for. I'm able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that you ask or even think. Follow me and trust me. All I need you to do for me while I take you to the place is recognize I'm in charge. Simply that. Just recognize I'm in charge. That's your only way of getting there. It's to recognize I'm in charge. This is my plan. You don't have no ducats in this thing. This is my way and my plan. If you intend on getting to the land of good milk and honey, the promised land, the best place for you, you've got to recognize that I am in control. And since I've been in control, everything is set up to make sure you get there. See, God don't play no games. He don't play no games. Tell you, you might be able to make it over to the other side, to the promise. He told them, y'all going to the promised land. I didn't bring you out of Egypt to leave you in the middle of the wilderness. I took 450 years to bring you out. And I didn't bring you out to get drowned in the Red Sea. I brought you out to bring you in. Hallelujah. Without a question or a doubt, you're going to get there. You're going to get there. This is what he's telling. One way or the other, you're going to get there. I've set up all stations go, and my ultimate motive is to get you there if I have to kill you to bring you in. Simply that. And some of us, that's what he's doing for us. He killing off your spirit. That old nasty attitude, that old will of yours, that old desire of yours, he's killing it off. I hope, Sister Renee, I did homiletics class. I was teaching a homiletics class in Gilgal. And her message, her sermon message for the class, for the final was, I hope you die. In other words, I hope all your motives, I hope all your will, I hope your intention and the way you think about yourself and what you want and your selfishness and your desire, I hope you die. And this is what God's saying to us, only he's saying it this way, you gonna die. He simply said, I'm taking you into this place. I'm taking you because I'm your God. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I set you up for this. You've been called for this. Stop thinking you got it's because of your talents, your skills, and ability, and because of where you were born, and because of who you know that got you this. You should have been wiped out a long time ago. I was reading a devotional the other day, and while I'm reading this devotional, it asked a question. The statement was, check the thing that's most important that God did in your life. And then it lists some things. It lists your family, your spouse, your church, your job, your health. And I looked down that list and I could not check anything. I said to God, I said, there is no priorities in this list because I worked on a job for 32 years and they tried to fire me for 32 of them. So it was nobody but you that kept me. I don't know how I survived it. I look back over and don't know how I made it where people that tried to fire me left for I did. Nobody but the Lord. It was him that kept me and brought me to retirement. First day I walked in there, I said, I ain't staying here. Now I'm getting a pretty good pension from that. Nobody but the Lord. And then when I looked back, over my family. I could not put that prioritized. I said, God, I would have no family if it had not been for you. When I wanted to head up and leave my husband, praying for him to die or do something, God reached in with his mighty power of love and changed the heart and the mind of a man and regenerate a woman to cause the love of God to rise up within her. I don't know how you did it, but when I came to myself, I was in it. Hallelujah. Because of his leading. God's been in it the whole time. He's been in it the whole time. And when you look at your family, your health, all them drugs and all that stuff you put in your body, and people died right next to you, you don't drink no water, you don't do the right thing. Why is Cherie somewhere with kidney failure? Nobody but I got health because of him. I got life because of him. I got a church because of him. And some of us can walk around here and act like we have arrived. You in Christian fellowship because of God. You know the tears you shed. Nobody wanted you. Nobody liked you. You know that was your confession. But God changed the heart. A man, and he received you as his own and put a word in your mouth and a love for the people of God in your heart. How many times we done went looking for places and done tell somebody we're leaving and going somewhere. God guiding this plan, honey. You would leave if you could. But God's bringing something up in you. This is my plan. I'm leading you. I'm working something out in you. You're not just wandering around in this world, just a mishap, a wandering generality, having something to do. I'm directing and ordering your life and ordering your step. And when we wake up and realize that God is, he really is in control. He's in control, and everything that he's doing in our lives, everything is working together for our good. Everything. And I will say to this of a certainty to you, everything that's happening in your life, good or bad, is to do one thing for you, simply one thing, to keep you on the path, to keep you falling the plan, sickness, trouble, disturbance, all of that is to keep you in the plan. I'm leading. I'm guiding. Nothing is taking me unaware. These momentary light afflictions are working in you an eternal weight of glory. Everything I'm working out in you, everything working together for the good to those that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. For it is God that worketh in you the will and the desire to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now in this 20th verse, God simply spoke to him and said, I'm handling this journey, this destiny of your life. I'm taking care of this. He said, behold, wake up and listen up. Look, hold up. Don't even try to set up nothing on your own. Wait, hold it, behold. I'm taking you to promised land, behold. I ain't asking you to do nothing. I'm not asking you to get no money. I'm not asking you to make no plan. He said, behold, I got it all under control. Simply, that's what he said. I told you you was going to be this. I told you you was going there. I am sending an angel before thee. I'm not even counting on him to go along with you. I'm sending an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. Good God, what a good God. Can't even keep yourself. How you gonna tell me how to keep me when you can't keep yourself? You can't keep yourself. Wake up and realize that. You can't keep yourself. And you kept by the power of God. To keep that angel purpose is to keep you in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. That's his number one job. That's his number one function. He didn't come to make you laugh. He didn't come to make you happy. He didn't come to bring your friends. He didn't come to find your husband and loved one. He got one motive. And that's to bring you to the place, the prepared place, and keep you in the way. No matter what, everything that happens in your life, that angel is directed. He is under my authority. His assignment is simply to keep you in the way. If it takes sadness, if it takes disturbance, his job is to keep you in the way. If it takes some trouble in your life to make you bend your, his job is to keep you in the way. If it takes taking some things back out of, his job is to keep you in the way. If a whole bunch of money will make you leave, his job is to keep you in the way. If a fine car will make you leave, his job is to keep you in the way and bring you to the prepared place. And I can truly say that some of us don't have what we desire or what we could have because it takes us out of the way. It takes us out of the way and distract us from the prepared place. Do you know that people in this day and in this age of America, ancestors of slaves, who really is not a short time, over 100 years was slavery, who are now, I watched some award show last night, and an old Puffy Comb was getting up there talking about $2 something million he making, and different ones like that. When we didn't have a pot to urinate in. Like that, huh? Or a window to throw it out. Could not own anything. Could not possess anything. And here you somewhere because he kept you in the way. Hallelujah. Making millions and billions. Hallelujah. I watched that thing. I said, now, you got some heavy ducats when you got a yacht and you can land a helicopter on it. Because God kept you in the way. Don't you know you will self-destruct if he leaves you to yourself? Lean not to your own understanding. This your thing will mess you up, your mind in your own way and your own understanding. It simply will mess you up with a small thing. You know, you can get somewhere and start thinking about you don't feel good. I really don't. I'm so sluggish today. I'm somewhere. I got up. I'm so sluggish. And by noontime, you will have a brain tumor. If you mess with your own thinking, yeah, the pain right here on the side where the cerebellum is. But the Holy Spirit keeps coming to you and saying, you are the healed of the Lord. You are the healed of the Lord. He was wounded for you. He keeps keeping you in the way. Keeping you in the way. You're the Lord's property. You belong to God. Your health is directed in God, keeping you in the way. Hallelujah. So he said, I'm going to keep you in the way. That's the angel's job. He is, I'm sending somebody. I'm sending you help. And his purpose and his function is to keep you in the way and also to take you to the prepared place. Look how good God is. He just ain't going to get you there any kind of old messed up way. You know, I'm a country girl. I grew up in the country. And when we would walk through the fields and through the path, we had, after so many of us walked through that path, we had trampled down the ground and made a pathway that was flat and clear. But if we went to the side, right a few inches, there was just so many shrubbers and briars till it was just tear up your legs. So what you did was you follow the path. You follow the path. You didn't make the path, but you stayed on the path in order to keep from getting all scarred up. Now you could have took the shortcut. You could have took the easy way. You could have took the way that you thought was the right way. I know Uncle Nugger House right over there. And here I am following this path all the way around past the brook and everything. A whole 20 minutes extra. But if I follow this path, I'm going to get to Uncle Nugger House and I'm going to be, all my legs are going to be nice and pretty. I'm not going to have any scars on me. I'm not going to have briars in my hand. I'm not going to have marks on my face. And there is no wrist of a snake coming into the clear path and biting me and killing me. If I follow the path, I will remain safe in order to reach Uncle Nugger House, the prepared place, in good condition. But if I deviate from the path because I'm in faith, impatient, because I want an easier way out, because I don't think it's the right thing for me, because I don't think this is, I know the best way I need to take. If I deviate from that path, I run all risk of never even making it. Because there's snakes out there. Hallelujah. There's all kinds of danger out there. And the intention of the path is to lead me till I reach my prepared place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep you in the way. Hallelujah. So that's what God sent the angel for. He said, I've set up the way. There is a way. There is a way. I've already made the way clear. You're not even responsible for getting yourself there. You can stop worrying about that. Lord, will I ever be this? Will I ever complete my destiny? I can say this to you now. You're going to do it. You are going to do it. Because God is greater. He prepared the way. He called you to this work. Stop worrying about whether you're going to make it, whether you're supposed to be there. Some of y'all been in the church for 10, 15, 20 years, still somewhere sitting around asking God what your purpose is. What is that about? God, what's your purpose? What you call me to? What you call me to? He called you to obedience and to stay in the way and to obey him and to bring glory to his name and to please him. He has a prepared place for you. He didn't tell you all the plans or all the know-how, but he told you, I'm taking you there. I'm taking you there. You know how the Staple Sisters say, I'll take you there. He's taking you there. And that's what we got to wake up and realize. This is not my way. I've submitted myself unto God. And sometimes he might deviate or whatever, but his way is the best way. I'm going to follow God's plan and his way because he's the only one that can get me there. I will not deviate. I don't care how good it look. You can't talk me out of what God has told me, where God has taken me. I'm following the plan. Everybody got an opinion. Everybody got an idea. But did God tell me that? No, he didn't. And until he tell me something, I will stick to the plan and follow the path. He will keep me in the way. Like me, love me, lump me, whatever. I'm following the plan. Because we are precious cargo to him. And you're not in this by yourself. You got to realize you're not in this by yourself. You're not in this by yourself. And I have come to be convinced that everything that goes on in our life is directed by God. You ain't got no job because God wants to keep you in the way. You following the plan. There is some reason. His ultimate motive is to keep you in the way. And that's what we need to be praying and asking God. What are you doing, God? What are you doing? Why am I over here? Why am I over here? I need to learn this. Help me to learn this lesson. Help me to not deviate from this plan. Help me to find out this. Help me to be obedient to this lesson. You know, I dare you to ask God this. Show me me. Show me me. Show me what's hindering me. Show me what's holding me back. Show me why I'm moving so slow. Show me why I think I should be better than I am. And if you're living in this here world, you have not reached a prepared place yet. I know some of y'all think you have arrived, but you haven't. God's still working on you. I wallowed down here on Tuesday, and I was asking God some things, and he told me, he talks to me a lot about me now. He told me, Pat, refrain from talking. That's simply what he told me. Refrain from talking. Like I say, I'm a strong black woman. And hey, I'm 60. And I call that my rite of passage age, where I say what I want to, go where I want to. Talk what I want to because I earned that rite of passage. And I was confessing that. I said, this is my rite of passage. You up in my space, I'm going to say what I want to say in this house. You don't want to be listening, be hitting the dough. Rite of passage. So my son, I forgot what he did. And it's just something in a woman's voice. And I want to tell you this, women. They say that women speak 10,000 words a day. And men speak 3 to 5. I'm trying to work on that thing. Because I found it to be so. It's some little thing in your head that when you say it, you just can't say it and leave it. Something else come up and you say, and by the way. And I was telling him something in that computer room. And he was sitting there. And I went back. I said it. And then I went back down that hallway about 10 times because stuff kept coming back. And by, yeah, and this too. and this too. And how about this? And so I kept going back, getting them a little bit more. And they also say, women, after about 5 minutes, they don't hear you anyway. They just stop listening. It's better to say them two words and get them over than to kill them with 15. Because now they done forgot the first two. My girlfriend told me, I used to think my husband was so deep, because he didn't talk to me, because he wouldn't say, he wasn't deep, he just wasn't listening. And so I went down there and I said that thing about 10 times. And then I walked down the hallway and I was like, no, take that. Sometimes I was be like, so I walked down the hallway. I was done with that thing. And I came here Tuesday morning and I was laying right there in that corner talking to God and telling him different things and praying. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, minding my business, trying to stay on the path, he said to me, refrain from talking. Yeah, they need to. You know, because what I'm saying is right. You know, I just ain't talking no junk. I'm talking truth here. And so I was like, yeah, they need to refrain from talking. And I got up, I had my music over there playing, and he kept saying, refrain from talking. I'm like, who you talking to? And I walked around there and walked to the back, and I sat on one of the seats. And God said to me, refrain from talking. You're talking your way out of things. You're talking your way out of the plan. How can I work when you talking it out? You say, I say something and you talk out of it. The power to life and death is in your tongue. Shut up talking. Refrain from talking because you don't know what you're talking about. And get somewhere and talk in the spirit where you don't have the understanding of what you're saying. Let the Holy Spirit do the talking. You can't even trust your own understanding. It was true. It was true. Because I had a lot to say. I wouldn't finish. I was going back. And when he dealt with me, I went to praying in the spirit. I said, I'm going to shut my mouth. And it's been quite a task this week to stay in the way, stay on the path. I drove up at the credit union. At the credit union on Thursday, I drove to the credit union. I thought he'd just say, refrain from talking to my son and my husband and the people. I can talk to other people because they need me. So I drove to the credit union window and I needed to get a substantial amount of money that I had in the bank. And I fill out my slip. And I drove to that window, and I sat at the window, sent my slip in, and here come four cars after me, getting their money. And I said to God, refrain from talking, huh? I started to ring the doorbell, and the Holy Spirit, the angel of God, reminded me, because that's his job, to keep me on the path. to lead me, to guide me, to teach me, and direct me. I'm just not in this alone. Just a mishap. Didn't recognize where I was going. I just woke up somewhere. He talks to us. He leads us. And he guides us. Oh, you knew what you was doing before you got there. So when I drove up to the wind, when he finally came back, and he would have to be a little brother, and I'm trying to preserve their jobs. And he said, refrain from talking. I could see him through that back window. And he said to me, I'm sorry, Miss Clark. You do not have that amount in here, and your mortgage is behind. I said, doom. He was talking, and I was like, what you talking about? I floored that gas, and I whirled in that park. And I went inside. And, you know I got a few little ducats in there. I went inside, and there was a line and about five tellers. I'm like, I ain't stuck in a line. I went straight to the teller, and I told the other young man, I said, I put my slip through the window. Go get it. I said, go get my slip and bring it out here. All the while, the Holy Spirit's telling me, refrain from talking. And I'm trying to stay in the path, yo. I'm trying to stay in the path. And he comes out there. He goes back there and stay 10 minutes with my slip. And people all around me, and I've been doing business there for over 35 years, and they think I'm nice. So when they came out, when he came out, I was like, say I ain't got it. say it ain't so. And we gonna go from there. So the young man said to me, what happened? Say, why? I pull up your account. I see what happened back there. And after the Holy Spirit trying to keep me in the path, refrain from talking, why you gotta ask me what happened back there? Nothing but a setup to get me off the path, to make me show out. And I glanced all around there. And he said, what happened? I see you here. Now you got an account with your husband. I say, yes, I have one. He said, well, he said your mortgage is not. I said, he said my mortgage wasn't paid. I pay my bills on time. And I say, and if I hadn't have it paid, I got enough in there to pay it. Nobody asked you all that. Stay on the path. All indignant. You don't know how you got it in there. God put it in there. It was the grace of God. So after I said that to him, I said to the other young man, I said, he just didn't know what he was doing. I don't know why he's here. He don't know what he's doing. Was that nice? He was probably new, or whatever the situation. I had gotten it taken care of. Why you need to add all that unnecessary, indignant talk? And go off on somebody and try to make somebody else look lesser and try to show him up. So
he counted my money out. And whole time he's counting it out, the Holy Spirit keeping me in the way. Keeping me in the way, because he's going to always do his job. He's going to talk and lead and guide you into all truth and understanding. He is going to direct you and keep you, because his job is to keep you in the way and bring you into the prepared place of bringing glory and honor to God. So after I had done that, he studied talking in the back of my head. So then I come all calm down and submissive. I was like, oh. He counted the money out. And then he said, I said, thank you, thank you. He said, I was trying to hurry up and get out of there. He said, wait, your bank slip. Wait for your slip. I said, thank you so much, sir. I just humped on out of there. You know, the enemy will make you. You will make you messed up. If you do not, that ain't had nothing to do with the devil. That was me, because God had done direct me what to do. Keep your refrain from talking. I don't care what happened or who said it. Refrain from talking. Stay in the way. I'm trying to get you to the prepared place. I'm trying to get you to hear my voice. I'm trying to get you to get past yourself, your way and your will and what you want, and fly it off the handle. Maybe you're in this line to avoid an accident. You're in this line to learn something about yourself, so that you can get to the prepared place. You need to get this out of you. You need to get this out of your life. So after I got my money and got to my car, he is so gracious, so loving, so kind, so true. It's his kindness that draws us to repentance. He yet loved me after I blew it. I got in that car and I turned off the radio and I said, yeah, I didn't frame that time. I really messed it up, God. But he loved me still. Still. I'm trying to get you to the prepared place. You don't need to have that in you. You need to be better in order to get into the prepared place. In order to get where I'm taking you to, you can't get there with no attitude. You can't get there popping off on people in America and expect to go minister in Africa. You can't get there. So I'm trying to get you there. It's a prepared place. And when we see things happening in our life like that, and they come in numbers and stuff, God trying to work something out of you. Why everybody always going off on me? God trying to work something out in you. Why I'm the one they always taking advantage? God trying to work something out in you. He's taking you to a prepared place. He's leading you away to get something out of you. And then last night, right back again after I asked him and fail that test, I was just laying up in my house on my sofa, and this young man came in there who'd been doing a job for me since October. And he caught me. He said to me, I have a list for you of what you need to pay me. Ain't nobody warned me. Caught me a little off guard because I was watching television. And when he said that, I flew up off of that couch
And I say, you have low moral character, your integrity means nothing, and your word means nothing. Unsaved person. Man, I read him. And guess what the man said, unsaved? I don't want no trouble. I love you. And this is what God does to us. The Holy Spirit. I'm trying to keep you in the way. I'm trying to show you something about you. You busy trying to find out about everybody else and look at everybody else. You're not sent in this world to see through people. You're sent in this world to see people through. That's what I'm trying to show you. So what? You don't say that to nobody. You don't do that to nobody because you want to stay in the path of righteousness. You want to stay in the path of preserving, of building up, of keeping people, making people better. And I told God, I'm going to learn this lesson. I woke up this morning and I told my husband, I'm learning this lesson. I'm not going to keep going back there doing the same thing. Help me out in this. Help me, pray for me, because I ain't going to be popping off and saying the thing that come to my mind, whether it's right or wrong. I'm going to stay in the path. I don't like that about myself. I don't like that I'm quick to give an answer. Shut up and refrain from talking. So I learned that lesson. Just shut up, refrain from talking. You ain't got to say everything. Because you're not leading it. God is leading it. He's keeping you in the way. So we are precious cargo. And since we're precious cargo, God is taking us somewhere. And everything that's going on in your life is working together for your good. Above all, the scriptures say, I wish that you prosper and be in good health. I know the plan I have for you, plans to be success. I got a plan for your life that's better than anything you think or even could imagine. I know about it. Lean not to your own understanding. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Nobody but God. He's able to keep you from falling. Because you can't fall. You can't deviate from the path. You're not going to be destroyed. Because he got you in his hand. And he gonna do whatever it may takes to keep you on the path. Might have to cry sometime over that relationship. But it's to keep you in the path. If you won't leave him, he'll leave you and turn away from you, because God gonna keep you in the path. You didn't lose that because somebody just didn't like you. You lost that because it got you out of the path. And God say you can't have that. You can't have, you're not having it. There are many things I want. I went around about way, but I still ain't got them. Some things God are not letting us have. And this your thing where you running around talking about you going to marry and you going to be this one and you going to be this. You, did God tell you that? Here's God that changes the hearts and minds of men and women. Marriage don't mean nothing, you marrying somebody. But can you stay there without God? Can you stay in a path without him? God gonna move everything out of our life that gets us out of the path. Because his intention and direction is you going to a prepared place. You're a prepared person. I prepared you for this, and everything that has taken your place in your life, look back over it. You sitting in here because it did. If they hadn't done you like that, you wouldn't have known how to pray. If that hadn't happened to you, I bet you wouldn't have been in no church. Because you thought you knew more than God. But he had something to bring you to your knees. Didn't he? Kept you in the way. What a great God. What a great God. What a great God. He put his deposit in us. Put his deposit in us. His plans. His own deposit. And then this mighty God, after he put it in us, for it is God that works in you the will and the desire to do of his good pleasure. Anything good that crops up in your mind and in your heart, any good intention, any good motive, God placed it there. Any good idea, God placed it there. So when he directs you and leads you, all he's doing is withdrawing on his own deposit. It's not yours. You wouldn't have never thought of that. You wouldn't have never had that idea. You was headed for self-destruction. Take your hands out of it and follow the plan. Follow the way. Stay in the path. He's taking you. I recognize that you're my God. I'm not in this by myself. I can't get there without you. I will self-destruct. I'm not leading no parades, no marching. I'm following you. I ain't got to work up nothing. I don't have to love nothing greater than you. I got to be focused on you. You know, there was a time in my earlier Christian life when I thought I really could work up something to please God. But God has already paid it all. Paid it all. I know my friend, Tanya, she always tell me she getting ready for Lent. She does a detailed fast for Lent. And she was asking me, was I going to do a detailed fast for Lent, give up food and everything? And I said to her, Jesus paid it all. I told her, I said, he paid a debt I could not. And he paid one I did not, he did not owe. Go eat me some meat. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he did. Aren't you glad that you're in the hands of the Lord? Hallelujah. Everything that's going on in your life has one purpose and one motive. The directive and the goal of what is going on in your life now is to take you to the prepared place God has for you, to keep you in the path that he has for you. And I just want to, I'm done, but I just want to do this for you. Tell you about this. In the 21st verse, he said, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in his mouth. God simply saying to the children of Israel, I have put this angel in charge of you. I have put, this angel is synonymous of Jesus Christ. And he said, I have put him in charge of you. He said, now I'm going to give you a warning. I have set you up to succeed. And I have put Sir Street, that right there. I have put them in your path. People, your pastor, ministers, the Holy Spirit, I put people in your life to make sure you stay in the way and stay in the path. And he's telling them about this angel. He said, I gave you angels. Do you know that you have angels in charge of you? his angels encampeth round about you. They're with you all day, all night, while you sleep and in your slumber. You got help. You're not in this by yourself. That near miss, that accident, you don't know who walking in a breathing around your house while your eyes is closed. You don't know who coming up behind you in your car. And the ministering angels of God say, you can't touch this one. I'm in charge of this one. I'm on assignment. I'm on authority. I've got to keep them until they get the prepared place. And so God said to the children of Israel, I put this angel in charge of you. All you got to do is be obedient and follow after him. He said, beware of the thing that the angel I set in charge of you. You got to beware, because my name is in his mouth, and he will not take kindly of your rebellion. In other words, he'll kill you if he has to. Because my name is in his mouth, and he cares more about the assignment than he do your attitude, and he do your feelings. He'll step all over that to keep you in the prepared place. Stop sitting around somewhere crying about who like you, who don't like you. It's to keep you in the path. He said, beware of him. Beware of him. They're on assignment to make sure you get where you got to go, to the prepared place, to make sure that you stay in the path. That is their assignment. They know their assignment. My name is in his mouth. The angel of this house, my name is in his mouth. Beware of what he says to you. Beware of what he tells you, because he's under my authority. He is under my roof. He's telling you, he a direct orders from the throne. Beware of what you do. Because God said, by any means necessary, he gonna keep you in the path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So beware. Simply pay attention. Everything is spiritual. Everything that's going on in my life, it has spiritual connotation. I am more spiritual than I am natural. There's some spiritual meaning behind this. That's what we should be looking for, people of God. What is why is this happening to me? What is going? Where is this leading me? It's spiritual. It's just not a mishap in my life. What does God want me to do? Where is God leading me? I got to pull aside and get in his face. I got to be in the path. Ain't nobody trying to hurt my feelings. Ain't nobody trying to annihilate me. Ain't nobody picking at me. Ain't nobody bothering you. This has become the cry of the church, ain't it? You think somebody bothering you. Folk got their own life and they're about something. Just cause people, you think people don't like you, it's a matter of perception. It's a matter of perception. Nobody ever invite me nowhere. It's to keep you in the place. So what? You don't need to go. Keep you in the place. They start inviting you, then you won't have time to pray. Isn't it? God moves people out of our lives and out of our space. We the one want to hold on to them. But it's to keep you in the place. Keep you in the way. Now I need you, God. I need you to know. Anything that's taken out of my life and out of my way is because you moved it. To keep me in the way. To take me to the prepared place. He said, hear him. Hear him. Your part of the responsibility is to hear the angel of the house, the angel of God, the Holy Spirit that's directing you. All I need you to do in order to stay in the way, in order to reach the prepared place, is to make up in your mind, from this moment on, I'm going to do what God tell me to do. I'm going to hear him. You know, in the book of James, it says, be not only be a hearer, but a doer. There's a difference between listening and hearing. When you hear, you hear sounds all the time. We hear sounds throughout the church now. Babies cry. You just hear things. But it doesn't mean you pay attention to them. Doesn't mean that you listen with intent to do anything about it. Listening simply means I intend on doing something about this. I intend on acting on this. You know, when you go to a conference or something, I've sat in many conferences on my job and some of them in the church, and they're just yakking, and I was hearing, and I was like, that ain't for me. I wasn't listening because I had no intentions of doing nothing they were talking about. And you know how that is? Some of y'all going to the minister's conference and listen to everything the preacher say, but you ain't got no intentions of doing none of it. You hear it, but you don't listen. And the scripture says, be slow to speak. Slow to speak. Because if you're a good hearer, which is an art, a good listener, if you're a good listener, you slow to speak. I admire that in my pastor. You go in there and you can sit down in there and talk to the pastor for hours. And he will have 2 or 3 sentences to say. I'm like, give me something. Feedback. He sits there and he listens. And then he says, what you think about that? You're pouring my heart out for 30 minutes. I come here to find out what you thought. But if you keep talking, and I want to tell you that little secret, especially women, keep on talking and flapping your lip because you tell on yourself. People ain't got to try to find out nothing. When a person talks a lot, they just tell who they are. And when people tell you and show you who they are, do me something, Sierra. See, do me a favor. Believe them. Just believe them. But the Bible said be slow. Slow to get angry. Slow to speak. Slow. Slow it down. Refrain from talking. And be quick. When somebody's saying something, be quick to listen. And tune your ear to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And